Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. I'm Phil Carroll. In today's episode, we're thrilled to have Sapan Ghai, the Chief Commercial Officer of Sovereign Metals, as our guest. Welcome, Sapan. How's life treating you?
Life is good, Phil.
Been a while since we've caught up, really, isn't it? What's been happening?
Yeah, look, a fair amount of work on our projects in Malawi, but just before we touch on those, I just wanted to highlight, obviously, Tropical Storm Freddy is now making the news here as well. Bit of a devastating tropical storm that's ripped through Mozambique and the southern parts of Malawi. You know, over 200 people dead. The president's called it a national tragedy. So it's not the best of news out of our host country. But look, Sovereign's going to help out as it can, and we'll be making some form of a donation as well to the efforts there. And we're just working through how we can be helpful.
There's been some pretty devastating scenes I've seen on the news, as you say, and it's good that you're helping out in any way you can, I guess. But presumably it hasn't impacted on your operations at Kasia, right?
No, look, the storm really only hit the southern part of Malawi. We're more kind of central and towards the north. So no, there's been zero impact on any of our business operations or anything there.
So obviously, since we last caught up, there was the news of the Kasia's graphite co-product is estimated to have a significantly lower global warming potential compared to other natural graphite projects. The global warming potential of producing 1 ton flake graphite concentrate at Kasia is estimated to be 0.2 tons of CO2 equivalent emissions, making it the lowest compared to currently known and planned future natural graphite projects. Do you want to just tell us how significant this news is?
Oh, it's huge. Look, it's huge for us. Just as a reminder, the graphite's only a co-product, and this is really a rutile deposit where we also have a lot of graphite that comes up as we mine that rutile, as we process it. So we end up with a concentrated level of graphite, which we then may as well put through a circuit and produce high concentrations of this graphite as a product in its own right. And to be able to then say, actually, that graphite, albeit a co-product, has potentially the lowest carbon footprint of any graphite being produced currently is a huge plus for us. Remember, graphite currently ends up going into the lithium-ion battery market. In fact, in 2022, the lithium-ion battery market became the biggest end market for natural flake graphite. So Kasia, we're looking at producing a significant amount of graphite, which would then obviously make its way into the lithium-ion battery market. Those batteries end up in electric vehicles. Why do we all want electric vehicles? Because we want lower greenhouse gas emissions compared to conventional internal combustion engines. Now, if you're producing the parts, and specifically in this case, the battery, out of much lower carbon footprint material, then you're having the added benefit of low carbon footprint electric vehicles being built out there.
Very good. So, Sapan, we talked about the situation with bringing the graphite, obviously, as a byproduct of the rutile in terms of what you're trying to produce. But all of these ESG things are wonderful. But what does it actually do to the cost of production for your resources?
So let's look at cost of production. So because the graphite is a co-product of mining the rutile, we would have done most of the work to get that graphite to a certain concentration already. And then it's just a matter of increasing that concentration through a circuit. And ultimately, what we're looking at in terms of the cost of producing that graphite on a co-product basis is as low as $140 a ton based on our expanded scoping study that was out in June last year. At $140 a ton, we would be at the lowest end of the graphite exploration and producer market in terms of operating cost out there. Now, it's all well and good that, you know, people out there now know that we could produce graphite at $140 a ton, but what can you sell this at? And we took quite a conservative estimate and estimated that our graphite concentrate would sell at a basket price of around just over $1,000 a ton. But if you look at where the electric vehicle market is going, and you look at what independent analysts within the field of commodity pricing are looking at where graphite is going, that $1,000 a ton could slowly start creeping up to, you know, anywhere between $3,000 to $4,000 a ton, which is, if you're producing at $140 a ton and you add in some inflation between now and when we get online, I mean, we're talking significant margins there.
Yeah, that's not creeping up. That's exploding up, I think.
Yeah, look, we always want to take a nice conservative view. So if we look good and the project does look good on the parameters, on the conservative, prudent parameters that we set, then, you know, we've always got a chance of under-promising and over-producing, which is always a nicer way of doing things.
The other question I'm going to ask you now is, well, obviously the other graphite projects are being rolled out now into a new IPO, and that was voted through just today. So do people still have a last chance to buy the stock to be able to get these shares?
If they listen to the podcast on time, then yes, they will have one last chance. So you're right. We had the resolution passed through for the demerger today. Only 0.01% of votes voted against it. Don't actually know why anyone would not want free shares in a new graphite project with, three assets in there that all have, I would say, a significant amount of graphite ore. But look, with the effective date of distribution is the 20th of March, which is a Monday. So really, we would look at Tuesday night on the 21st. We would look at what the register looks like, the actual record date. So the date we say who owns what and is due how many new shares in the new demerged entity, which is going to be called NGX. That's the 23rd of March, and we would look to distribute the new shares to shareholders between the 24th and the 27th of March.
Okay, so very good. Everybody's still got Friday and Monday, basically, if they want to have this process. Now, that is only a very small part of what you have there in Casillas. So just give us for anyone who doesn't really know, what is the overview of the finances of or the potential net present value of Casillas?
So we are working through a pre-feasibility study at the moment, which is due mid-year this year, which will be about 12 months after we had first put out our expanded scoping study, which had our economics or our financial estimates of if we were to mine 30% of Casillas today, what would it look like? And basically, if we were to mine it 30% of the resource and mine it in two phases, but essentially at a steady state of 24 million tons per annum to produce both rutile and graphite, about 240,000 tons of rutile and about 150,000 tons of graphite annually, we'd be looking at an after-tax net present value of the project at $1.5 billion. In order to get there, we would have to sink CapEx to first production of $370 million. So really, that's almost a 4-to-1 capital intensity ratio, which is always good. That would be over a life of mine of 25 years. The reality is, of course, there's so much resource there that, you know, it would go beyond those 25 years in reality. But obviously for economic modeling, we cut it off at 25 years. That's also on an IRR basis. That's a 36% after-tax return, which, you know, in these markets is not bad.
Yeah. But the pre-feasibility study that's going to come out later this year, then that's effectively going to confirm a lot of those figures. Maybe some increases because of the inflation, etc., but also the rutile price has gone up as well.
We are hoping that obviously the PFS will have some kind of inflationary impact on it, on the operating cost side, on the capital cost side. The nuance with commodity prices is, even though the cost side is always inflated, the price side takes a bit longer, simply because analysts don't really want to overinflate commodity prices. So we may or may not see that on the price side, but we'll definitely be building it into the cost to, again, just be cautious, just be prudent of where we stand with the project. The only other bits that may move around the project are obviously thoughts around the configuration of the pits. Late last year, we announced that we had drilled further deeper into some of the areas of Casillas and found that the mineralization continues further down. So what that means for us in practice is, rather than mining or hydro mining one area for, let's say, 5 years and moving on to another area, we could remain in that area for 10 years, and that would help hopefully cut a few costs here and there.
Okay, so that all sounds positive, and we look forward to that information.
So I was just looking through some of you put out your half-year report, actually, I think it was on the 14th of March, beginning of the week, and what you've achieved so far in the year is over even 2022. So within the year, you've had the offtake MOU market alliance with Mitsui. You've had also the offtake with Chemours, one of the world's largest producers of the high-quality titanium dioxide. Obviously, we've talked about the demerge of the standalone graphic projects. Obviously, a lot of the resource infill drilling was completed, 4,666 meters. So lots of progress within the last year. What can listeners and shareholders look forward to, do you think, in the coming year?
Yeah, I think over the coming months, really just look out for updates that will feed into our PFS or understanding of the PFS. So hopefully we'll be moving some of our indicated and inferred resources into measured and indicated. That will obviously feed into the resource that we can use for the PFS. That's why we did a lot of the infill drilling to get more confirmation, get more comfort over what the ore body looks like and how much is actually there. Alongside that, we are working through everything from pit design through to what is the circuit going to look like, where's the power going to come from. We've talked about it in our scoping study, how we're going to be using hydro grid power and solar, but ultimately at this stage now we want to get more comfort over those kind of scoping study type thoughts and be more comfortable about actually how much is this going to cost, where are we going to put these solar arrays, what effect the global power issue is going to have on us and our OPEX. We're viewing all the options around tailings dams and tailings facilities all the way through to marketing this product and getting it out to people who really want it.
Very good. It sounds very promising, and we look forward to welcoming you back in the future when you can update the market in due course.
We scored 7 goals against you, by the way, since the last time we spoke. How do you feel about that, Sam?
I thought we weren't going to talk about that.
Cut that out.
any trips planned anytime soon?
Yeah, I was going to say, what about when you went to Bournemouth the week after on your high and you got beaten by it? Are you breaking up now, are you? It's funny that.
His cup final's come and gone. Well done.
Yeah, exactly. Serpan, thanks very much for your time.
Thanks, Phil. Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks, Serpan.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.